All right, let's dive into these notes you've got here on launching Facebook ad campaigns. Looks like you're really trying to, crack the code on what makes a campaign really work.
Yeah, for sure. And right off the bat, the first thing I see here, and something you really emphasized in your notes,
Yeah.
is the importance of knowing your ideal client. Like before you even do anything else.
Makes sense. I mean, you wouldn't like write a song without knowing who you're singing to.
Exactly.
So before you even think about ad copy design, anything like that, you need to have a really clear picture of who you're trying to reach.
Yeah, you got it. In fact, your notes mention this thing called the unknown variable problem. And it's basically the idea that every campaign, you're going in with some unknowns, right? Like, will the copy work? Will people click? But if you go in with a crystal clear picture of who you're targeting, who that ideal client is, you're already miles ahead.
It's about removing the guesswork as much as possible.
Yeah, Claire.
So instead of just like blindly throwing your ads out there and hoping for the best, you're strategically targeting them to the people who are most likely to actually want what you're offering.
Right. And you have this great example in your notes about an e-commerce business that's, say, they're targeting clients who are making over $100,000 a month. Now, if they accidentally targeted their ads towards, let's say, entrepreneurs who are just starting out and don't have a lot of money yet, Facebook's algorithm is going to see that. It's going to say, oh, okay, these people are clicking, even if they're not the right people. And it's going to show those ads to more people just like that.
And then it wouldn't matter how good the ad was.
Exactly. It wouldn't matter how good the ad was because the audience wouldn't be right.
Yeah, that's like trying to sell, I don't know, a luxury sports car to someone who's looking for like a budget-friendly sedan.
There you go.
No
Yeah.
matter how sleek and fast that car is, it's just not what they need.
Exactly. So assuming we have, we nail down that ideal client, your notes then dive into some of the Facebook tools that can actually help us find those people.
Okay.
And first up, we've got lookalike audiences or LAAs. Have you had a chance to experiment with these at all?
I've definitely read about them, and they seem, I don't know, kind of like magic almost. Like it's like cloning your best customers or something.
That's actually a great way to put it. You essentially give Facebook a source audience, which could be like a list of your existing customers. And it goes out and finds users who have similar demographics, similar interests, even similar online behaviors. But, and this is something you flagged in your notes, the quality of that source audience, that's everything. Garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if your source audience isn't great,
It's
it's not
exactly.
going to matter how good your targeting is.
Right. And you have this example in your notes, like if you're selling those high-end online courses we talked about, but your source audience is, a list of people who downloaded a free ebook a year ago, your lookalike audience is going to be full of people who are looking for free stuff.
Bargain hunters.
Exactly. Bargain hunters, not serious students. The Facebook algorithm doesn't know what you intended to target. It only sees the data you feed it.
That makes perfect sense. So, high quality source audience, that's key for lookalike audiences. But what about those who are just starting out and don't have those robust customer lists yet? I'm seeing something in my notes here about hyper-niched interests.
That's a great segue. Hyper-niched interests, or HNIs, are a fantastic option if you don't have that LLA data to work with yet. And essentially, these are laser-focused interests that only very specific people would fall into.
Okay, so instead of targeting something like really broad, like entrepreneurship, which could describe millions of people,
Right.
we're talking about drilling down to something a lot more specific.
Precisely. And the more specific, the better. I'm curious, looking at your notes, I see you've highlighted working parents as a potential interest. Is that, would you say, based on your ideal client, is that too broad?
Now that you mention it, it probably is. My ideal client is much more niche than that. Thinking about it now, maybe working parents who homeschool and are interested in sustainable living would be a better fit. It's a smaller group, for sure, but they're much more likely to be interested in what I'm offering.
Now you're thinking like a true Facebook ad strategist. You've hit on the real power of HNIs. You're not just getting your message in front of anyone, you're getting it in front of the right anyone.
It's like the difference between casting a wide net and using a laser pointer. Okay, so we've got our ideal client figured out, strategies for finding them on Facebook. What's next on the launch checklist?
Your notes are big on having a pre-launch checklist, and something I completely agree with. Think of it like a pre-flight check before takeoff. You want to make sure everything is in order before you hit that launch button.
You definitely don't want to be soaring through the air and realize you forgot something crucial.
Exactly. Much easier to fix a problem on the ground than it is when you're already up in the air.
So we've got our targeting locked in, our creatives are looking good, feeling good about our funnel. What happens once we actually hit that launch button?
That's when things get really interesting. Your notes here get into some really great detail about tracking performance metrics, and honestly, I cannot overstate how important that is.
It's like setting sail on a grand adventure, but you forgot to bring your compass and your map.
Precisely.
Yeah.
You could have, I mean, literally the most amazing ad campaign in the world, but if you don't actually know how to read the data, how to course correct, you're going to have a hard time reaching your destination.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm seeing that these notes actually call out specific metrics, CPM, CTR, CPL, CPBC. Honestly, it's a little like learning a new language at this point. I might need a translator.
Let's break it down. So imagine you launch a campaign and your cost per click, your CPC, is through the roof. That's a pretty clear signal that something needs to be adjusted. Maybe your ad copy isn't grabbing attention, or maybe your targeting, even though we think it's good, maybe it's still too broad.
So instead of panicking, we put on our detective hats and use those clues to figure out our next move.
Exactly.
Sharpen the ad copy, tighten the targeting all based on what the data is telling us.
And let's say on the flip side, your click-through rate, your CTR is amazing. People are clicking, they're intrigued, but then you're not actually seeing those clicks turn into leads.
Right.
That tells us a different story. Maybe your landing page isn't doing its job, or maybe the offer itself isn't quite right.
It's like, you know, you put all this effort into getting people to your front door, but then they get inside and your house is a mess.
There you go. That's a great way to put it. Each of those metrics you mentioned gives us a little piece of the puzzle, helps us understand where the strengths and weaknesses of the campaign really are.
Okay, this is making a lot more sense now. So we've launched our campaign, we're tracking the data like pros, but then we hit a snag. And one of the things I actually really appreciated about these notes was this emphasis on patience, like being really strategic with our decision making when it comes to, you know, knowing when to cut our losses or maybe double down on something that is working.
Yeah. It's so tempting to hit that panic button, especially with how fast things move online, right? You mentioned cutting your losses quickly, but your notes actually talk about not making any major changes for at least the first 48 hours.
Let the algorithm do its thing. Don't judge a book by its cover, and don't judge a Facebook ad campaign by its first 24 hours.
Exactly.
Right.
It takes time for that algorithm to learn. And once you do start looking at the data, you want to make sure you're prioritizing your decisions based on the last stage of the funnel where you have data. So, for example, let's say you're actually seeing conversions, right?
Okay.
Your focus at that point should be your cost per acquisition, your CPA.
Got it.
Make sure those conversions are happening at a price that makes sense.
Yeah.
But if you're only getting leads at that point, you're not getting conversions yet, your focus shifts to optimizing that cost per lead, your CPL.
So it's about focusing on what's actually going to move the needle for your business goals, not just getting caught up in like vanity metrics.
Exactly. Your notes even mention something called the sample size trap, which I thought was really insightful.
Okay.
It's so easy to get excited about early data, but one or two good conversions doesn't mean you've cracked the code.
Right.
And likewise, one or two bad leads doesn't mean that the whole ship is sinking. You need a large enough sample size to really make informed decisions.
Patience, a good dose of level-headedness, trusting the process.
All important.
Okay. Now, one of the concepts in these notes that really stood out to me was this idea of building an anti-fragile base. It sounds kind of intense.
It is a powerful concept. It sounds a lot more complicated than it actually is.
Mm.
Think of it this way. Diversifying your investments. You wouldn't put all your money in a single stock, would you?
Hopefully not.
The same principle applies to your Facebook ad campaigns.
So instead of putting all of our eggs in one basket, even if that basket looks like it's made of gold at the moment, we're spreading our bets a little bit across multiple campaigns.
Exactly. You might have several campaigns running at once, each testing different creatives, different messaging, maybe even experimenting with some different funnel formats. But by diversifying your approach, you're creating a safety net.
So if one campaign isn't performing as well, or if Facebook does one of their algorithm shakeups,
which they're known to do.
Right. It's like the entire account isn't doomed. We've got other campaigns that can kind of pick up the slack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you even gave an example of this in your notes. Instead of just having one ad set targeting working parents who homeschool and are interested in sustainable living, you might test out two different ad sets with totally different creatives, but still targeting those same people.
Gotcha. Okay, so all of this talk about diversification, resilience, it makes me think about scaling. So let's say we've got our anti-fragile base, our metrics are looking good, we're feeling confident. how do we actually scale things up effectively?
This is where your notes get into what you call a pillars approach to scaling, which I think is really smart.
Okay, pillars approach, huh? It's kind of architectural, like we're building a really solid foundation here for growth.
It is a great analogy. So instead of taking your entire budget and dumping it into this one campaign that seems like it's working, the pillars approach is about identifying, you know, maybe multiple campaigns that are performing well and then gradually increasing their budgets.
Okay.
Think of them as like your strongest pillars, and they're each supporting a portion of your overall growth.
So we're not putting all of our eggs in one basket, even if that basket seems like it's, you know, made of gold at the moment.
Right.
Spread the love, spread the budget.
Exactly. And, you know, what your notes emphasize here is having that data-driven approach. So we're not just arbitrarily increasing budgets by, you know, whatever, 10% each week.
Right.
We're looking at the data. We're seeing what kind of return on investment we're getting from each of these pillars and then making strategic decisions.
It's like watering the plants that are thriving, right? Like giving them what they need to grow even stronger.
Yes.
And if we're speaking the language of metrics here, we're looking for those signals that are like, hey, you know, invest more here and you'll be rewarded.
You got it. And one of the things your notes highlighted here, which I think is so important, especially when it comes to that scaling phase, is the need to stay adaptable. What works today might not work tomorrow.
Especially with Facebook, it seems like they change their algorithm every 5 minutes.
Right. It's like trying to hit a moving target.
Totally.
So even though, you know, we've gone really deep on these strategies today, and I know you've clearly put a lot of thought into these notes, the learning never stops.
Continuous learning, testing, iterating, it's all part of the game.
It is.
So maybe these notes are just the beginning.
The foundation.
The foundation for like a really incredible Facebook ads journey.
That's a great way to look at it.
It is.
It's journey.
Yeah.
And like any good adventure, it's best to be prepared.
Have a map, a compass, a healthy dose of like, I don't know, just curiosity.
Exactly.
Well, I have to say, I feel so much more prepared for this adventure now, having gone through these notes with you. It all makes so much more sense.
That's good.
And I'm actually excited to start putting some of these strategies into action.
Awesome. Well, hey, it's been a pleasure diving into all this with you.
And to you, dear listener, remember, a successful Facebook ad campaign, it's not about luck. It's about strategy. It's about data. It's about that willingness to adapt. Until next time, keep diving deep into the ever-evolving world of digital marketing.